You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Thursday morning. Today on A Seeking Heart, we're going to talk about confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, which is one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. I know, right? What's wrong with this lady? Confession is scary and it's like overwhelming and it's all of these things. Not really. It's all these things I used to think. I used to think it was scary and I didn't understand why I couldn't just go right to God. And I used to have panic attacks and wanted to throw up and run away before I went in. But over the last 7 years, as I've grown closer and closer to Christ and understood more about the sacraments and my Catholic faith, I started to realize that confession is truly a gift. It is an amazing gift that God gives us. So we're gonna delve into that today. And I'm going to be sharing with you the Catholic Women Bloggers Network blog hop. That's over on reconciledtoyou.com. That's reconciledtoyou.com. That's my website. And if you click on that, you'll see CWBN Blog Hop. And if you click on that lovely link, it brings you to right now, there are 15, it's pretty amazing, blogs for you to choose from. And I've added little two or three word descriptions to help you pick which ones you want to start with. I recommend all of them. And we're going to talk about, like I said, most of them today. A little bit of each, I should say. And so then you can find the one that kind of helps you wherever you are stuck in confession. It is a sticking point. It is a very difficult place for people to go, either converts or reverts or cradle Catholics. I think we all struggle at some point with confession, with the sacrament of reconciliation. But I can guarantee you, from a confession chicken, that once you get beyond that, once you let God bring you to Him in this beautiful sacrament, it is healing, it is strengthening, it's grace-filled, it is such an amazing opportunity to grow closer to Christ. Our sacraments are outward signs of God's grace, and grace is that undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within us. And when we allow God to fill us with His grace, you're going to see remarkable things happen to you. When you go to confession, I'll just give you a little visual. Maybe you're a visual person like myself. Think of all of that stuff that's right now on your soul, kind of weighing you down. Think of them, whatever it is, gossip or envy or gluttony or, gosh, there's so many. I'm kind of giving you my confession. It's kind of hard to think of things when you just think about yourself. So I'll stop there before you know more about me than you should. Think of all those things that you personally struggle with. Think of them as words, okay? So if we come into confession, think of the words kind of coming out, and that little box is emptying, that little vase, that little cistern of stuff is emptying. And now you have this nice, clean soul. But God doesn't leave you empty. He doesn't say, thank you for all that junk. Good luck with you. He then fills it with His Holy Spirit that helps you not fall into those sins that have become so close to you so quickly next time. Gives you the strength to seek Him more, to seek Him in a stronger, more profound way. And it bonds you to God even closer. It helps you to be the daughter and the son that He has created you to be. Nothing to be afraid of. In fact, going to confession should be difficult. It should feel uncomfortable. It's called contrition, and for a reason. There should be a part of you that's like, I don't want to say this. If you've hurt somebody's feelings, if you've hurt somebody with your actions, telling them to their face that you're sorry is hard. but think about how you feel afterwards. Like, if you don't come and make that reconciliation, then there's always that nagging feeling in your heart, that separation, that that struggle. And now this is, and I want to be very clear, because it's so confusing sometimes. We're talking about reconciliation right now with God, being reconciled to God. I'm not talking about the overall forgiveness and forgiving people who have hurt you, because with God, you always have to reconcile. And there are other people in your world, in your life, that you'll always have to work really hard to stay in relationship with. There are other people who will hurt you, or you will hurt, that you don't reconcile. You know, there's, I just did a forgiveness retreat, and we're talking about people who have hurt us, maybe from our childhood, or at some point in our life, it's just not prudent to be in friendship with them again. It would just dig things up and make things worse to confront them at this point, but we still have to forgive them. We still have to, but that's a completely different topic, a different idea that we can maybe talk about another day if you'd like to. But today we're talking about reconciliation, the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, confession, bringing our sins, our guilt, our shame, all of that to Christ in the confessional. The Catholic Church teaches, and I did not know this growing up, just learned it recently. Well, not too recently, but recently, more than within like 10 years, which is pretty recent considering my age. Anyway, that Jesus sits in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. So when we're coming to confession, we are coming to have an encounter with Christ. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and you can mark my words. You will never have an encounter with Christ and be the same person again. Every single time we encounter Christ in prayer, in sacrament, in scripture, you know, in the Mass, which is sacrament, in adoration, in reconciliation, when we pray, when we read scripture, every single time we do those acts, we encounter Christ, and you will never be the same person again. How you walk into church on Sunday is not the same way you leave. How you walk into that confessional whenever you choose to go is not the same way. You won't be the same person when you leave. Even minuscule amounts of grace changes us forever. Every encounter with Christ changes us forever. Every morning that you pray, every scripture that you read, you are not the same person again. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like not being the same person. I have some things about me that I'd like to just root out and eradicate forever. Forever, forever, forever. And I'm always going to struggle with that. You know, I'm still kind of wrestling with my interview that I had on Morning Air yesterday. And like, that's pride. That's 100% pride. And the funny thing is, when I have people on and they'll send me messages afterwards and say, oh, I did so poorly. I wish I had said this. I wish I had done this better. What do I say to them? The Holy Spirit guides us. And it was exactly the way it was meant to be. And if it wasn't, God will use it for good. So you don't have to worry about it. You can move on. But yet here I am, not taking my own advice. And you know why? It's because I'm wrapped up in my pride. I wanted to be awesome. I wanted to be perfect. I wanted people to listen and be like, who is that girl? I need to find her and follow her podcast and follow her radio show and read her blog. Yeah, hello, pride. It's not about me. It's about God. I must decrease so that he can increase. And I have to fight this always, always. And I struggle with envy. And I think there has to be a special kind of bad when you're envious of other people doing God's work. Yep, this is my new realization. Like, hello. And it's not just jealousy, because jealousy and envy are completely different. Jealousy is, oh, I want what they have. I'm so happy they have it, but I want it too. But I have moments of envy. The, why did they get that opportunity? I've worked just as hard, or I've worked harder. That's not fair. They don't deserve that. And you're like, or I'll look for something, a flaw in them and be, oh, yeah, well, they got that, but hello, they're this person. Like, that's not okay. And I have to catch myself. I have to pray for God's grace. And I've got to bring that to confession. And confession, here's another thing no one ever told me about confession. It's a place of healing. It is not just my get out of hell free card. In fact, it's not ever my get out of hell free card, unless I have no thoughts on the way out of the parking lot and I'm hit by a bus. Like, I just went to confession on Tuesday and I saw my friend immediately after, and she's like, "You're so shiny and clean. You're a saint." And I'm like, "Not if only until I have a thought." And then I'm in trouble again. Just, it's this place of healing. So I take these things that I struggle with day after day after day, and I bring them to Christ, truly bring them to Christ in reconciliation. And I say, "God, I got this problem." And he says, "Yeah, I already know." So let's heal it. Let's talk about it. Let's share it. And then let God's grace come upon it, help you fight it next time, not fall so quickly into the temptation the next time. God has so many good gifts for us, and confession is one of the best gifts for us. And I talk about this all the time. A gift not received, not opened, not used is a useless gift. And the gift of reconciliation is meant to heal us, to give us abundant life that Jesus died for. It's to bring us closer to Him. And when we don't use this gift, the only one hurt by it is us. I mean, obviously God is sad. I mean, I can't even imagine buying a gift for somebody, bringing it to them, putting it before them, and having them go, "No, thank you," and just pushing it back to me, or leaving it unopened. Do you imagine keeping your Christmas tree up all year with all the presents sitting under it unopened? It makes no sense. And those aren't even close to the gift that God has for us in reconciliation. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the other blogs on the Catholic Women Blogger Network, BlogHop, CWBN BlogHop. You can read those over on reconciledtoyou.com. And this month, we're talking about our true feelings about confession. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm going to invite you on today to share your feelings about confession. Let's talk about the sacrament. In Lent, this is the perfect time to make that extra effort to get to reconciliation. As Catholics, we're called to go at least once a year. And if you feel like there's a bigger sin on your soul, you're called to go immediately upon recognizing it. And to receive communion, we want to have that our soul as clean as it can be, because what we're asking the Lord to give us in that moment, to put Jesus in communion with us, we really want to come worthily to receive. And the best way to do that is to bring our troubles, our sins, our faults, our failings, all those things that weigh us down, to bring those to confession and ask God to heal them, to ask God to give us His grace to just be stronger in our faith and to grow closer to Him. And reconciliation, I've always been petrified of. Always, 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 always. I remember going in second grade and that feeling in your stomach, you just want to puke or bolt for the door. I can remember being old enough to drive myself and driving myself all the way to the church and not getting out of the car. Or, being in line and the line's taking too long and I have a panic attack and leave. But one time I was it was in confession. I'd gone to a new church. I was so excited. I was used to really love this moment of anonymity when the priest didn't know you. And I knelt behind the screen. I was like, "Yes, old fashioned screen, can't see me." And I started to talk, and he couldn't have recognized my voice because I don't think I had met him yet, but something, maybe he had heard me speaking. I have a kind of a distinct voice, or maybe we had just been introduced, whatever. He kind of pointed out halfway through my confession, he asked me if I was the woman who had come to the church to start the youth group, the middle school youth group. And I was her. And I really at that moment wanted to lie and say, no, Father, that's not me. But then I realized I'd have to start my confession back up with, and I lied one time a few seconds ago to you. So that didn't seem to make any sense to me. So instead I said, of course, I'm her. And then he started to go on and on and on about all these great ideas that he had for the youth group. But it was Saturday. There were people waiting to come into confession. I still had more to do, and it was getting awkwardly long. So I finished my confession. I asked, nicely, Father, this is wonderful, but do you mind if I finish my confession? Of course, he allowed me to. And then I go to leave. I open the door. I make eye contact with the people waiting to come in next. And he says, oh, wait, one more thing. Yeah, who gets called back to the confessional? Apparently only Allison. So I had to close the door because I didn't really know what to do with myself and kneel back down. And he was so sweet. He just started telling me all about this retreat that he helped facilitate for married couples. And he wanted me and my husband to consider coming. And at this point now, I have been in the confessional for, 15 minutes, maybe 20. So he finishes, and I say to him, Father, is there a trap door? Because honestly, I don't want to go back out there. If you could just drop me through the trap door, or is there a back way? He laughed. He thought I was kidding. I was so not. And so I had to go back out. It was kind of a little humiliating. I think a lot of the people had bolted either because, one, there wasn't going to be enough time for them to finish before it ended. And I'm sure a few of them were thinking, if this guy calls you back in and they're already afraid, I'm not staying. I was new to the church. I was like, please, Lord, let nobody recognize me. And I just sat down or knelt down to do my penance and started to laugh hysterically, though, of course, in the back. It probably looked like I was crying hysterically. And it was in that moment that I realized that confession, coming into confession, into that confessional, sitting there with the priest, I'm coming to spend time with Jesus. I'm coming to meet him for a conversation. He already knows all the things I've done. And people are like, well, if he knows, why do I need to tell him? Again, here's the gift. We have this opportunity to meet with Jesus in flesh, to meet with and hear the voice of Jesus tell us you are forgiven, or to give us some advice if we need it, or to guide us, to give us penance. We don't have to wonder, did God hear that? Am I forgiven? Your gift is that you get to know, you get to hear the words, you are forgiven. And that's amazing. And, I'm going to talk in a minute about the Catholic Women's Blogger Network blog hop on our true feelings about confession. And a few of them talked about, that feeling of that you got when you heard your absolution. And I get goosebumps. I feel when I receive that grace that I'm covered in goosebumps, and as other people have talked about, they just feel that overwhelming power, feeling of peace, or I'm sure we'll get to it. One of them talked about a feeling that she had, but it was this just overwhelming feeling of just knowing and not having to guess, am I forgiven? Yes, you are forgiven, and God speaks those words to you through the priest. So if you're struggling to go, let's talk about what keeps you from coming. You can either text it 573-4-BREAD-4, or you can call in 573-4-BREAD-4, or if you just need to send me a message and need some advice or some help about going to confession, love to help you. As you know, my ministry is called Reconcile to You. And it was really born out of wanting to help people reconcile to God. And the greatest, most powerful way of doing that, of course, is through the sacrament of reconciliation, that time of healing, of outpouring of grace, of meeting Christ. So, after that confession, I just was never afraid again after that. Doesn't mean I'm always comfy. Again, contrition, being sorry, hurting somebody's feelings, hurting God's feelings, the God of the universe, and having to come and tell him I'm sorry is a little uncomfortable. It's hard. It should be, but it doesn't stop me. I just went on Tuesday. I went to Lyft. I need to drink. Lyft is liftedhire.com if you want more information. If you're in the Boston area, it's this wonderful monthly event, I guess I'll use the word event, where they have great Christian contemporary music led by John Niven. They have a speaker this week, this month, and actually it was just Tuesday, was Father Mark Murphy, which I was very blessed. He came to our church when he was a seminarian. We went to his diaconate, to his ordination. It's just 7 years later, and it's so wonderful to see how he's just blossomed as a priest. One of the women there said, she remembers his first mass, his first homily, and how red he was. He was so nervous and so uncomfortable. And now he was just speaking to, you know, a couple hundred people, no problem, and just sharing such great words of wisdom. So after the talk, then we have adoration with contemporary Christian music, which is, oh my gosh, just an experience you just can't imagine. So if you're in the Boston area and you want to come to Lift some night, liftedhigher.com for more information. So, and also Lift includes having an opportunity for confession. And since I hadn't been in a couple weeks, I took advantage and I got to go to a Franciscan friar, a father, I don't know which order. All I know about this man is I met him when I was at World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro. He walked from Boston to Rio de Janeiro. Okay, he didn't walk every mile. They hitchhiked. They got money for bus tickets and took a train, I think, at some point. They had all these different ways, but they just left and allowed the providence of God to get them there. Crazy, huh? They had some pretty harrowing experiences, but really just to have that much trust in God. It's incredible, Father Michael. So he was the person that I went to confession. And I just, oh my goodness, sometimes the priest, you just get so blessed. You really do. And I'm not saying that, okay, so I'm going to back up for a second and talk about priests, because I think sometimes this is where people get stuck on why they do or do not go to confession, is that they don't want to go to their pastor because he knows them too well, or they had a bad experience with a priest they just didn't gel with. First of all, I love going to the same priest again and again. I don't have to give them backup info, like the whole background information. Like, we're up to speed. They know me. I know them. I was very blessed for over a year to go almost weekly to the same confessor, and I know that it grew me spiritually like nothing else. And it was really amazing. But, you know, and I've had experiences with the priest and I didn't gel for whatever reason. You know, I had one priest that was like, no stories, no excuses, just sins. And I like to talk. I know you find that hard to believe, but it wasn't a good experience. Now, I could have stopped going altogether, but that's not at all how I wanted to. It was just one of those. I didn't want to look at it like, oh, this is a knock on confession. It was just him and I. It wasn't a knock on him. It wasn't a knock on confession or priesthood. It was just him and I not getting along. And here's my analogy: shoes. I love shoes, but there are some shoes that I buy and they just don't feel right. They hurt my feet. They hurt my back. They're just not comfortable. The shoe is just not meant for me. But I don't stop wearing shoes just because this shoe didn't feel comfortable or this shoe wasn't right for me. I don't stop wearing shoes because I need shoes. Same thing with confession. If you've had a bad experience, then just knock that experience off and say, all right, let me try again. Let me try on a new pair of shoes, because you can't stop wearing shoes, just the way you really can't stop going to confession. It is that important for your soul and for your salvation and for your wellness, for your overall wellness. Confession, super important. When we come back, I am eventually going to get to specifically the Catholic Women Bloggers Network blog hop contributions. Good stuff. When we come back, we'll have more here at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about our true feelings about confession. I'm going to share with you now, like I promised at the beginning of the show, the Catholic Women Bloggers Network Blog Hop. Okay, first of all, who are the Catholic Women Bloggers Network? They are a group of fantastic women that have connected together on Facebook who all blog about our Catholic faith. They talk about parenting, they talk about work, they talk about life in general. We had Kirby Hoberg here yesterday. She talked about ballet. I've been sharing a lot of them with you in 2017. I love authors. I love Catholic reading. You know that I do. But I just felt in my heart for 2017, the Lord was calling us to do something different here. So I have still have my authors on. We had Danielle Bean on Monday, talked about her new book, You're Worth It. But I also wanted to introduce you to some of these amazing women that I have been blessed to kind of just, you know, call my coworkers in the field. You know, if you're a writer or a blogger, you write from home, you work from home, and sometimes you feel like I have no coworkers. But being part of this network of wonderful women, I've recognized and realized I do have coworkers. I have, and not only do I have coworkers, I have sisters in Christ. And that's why I wanted to introduce them to you, because I think that sometimes we may be the only person in our family who is practicing the Catholic faith or interested in learning more about the faith. And it's really, sometimes it can feel kind of isolating or alone. And I wanted you to see that you're not, that there are many sisters and brothers in Christ out there who write about their daily, everyday living the faith and the struggles they have, the triumphs they have, why they are Catholic or why they participate in the grace trifecta of sacrament, scripture, and whatever, a prayer. Like there's something else we do. Yeah. And a couple of months ago, I guess last year, the end of last year, one of the women on the Catholic Women Bloggers Network, Jenny Coaches, she talked about doing this blog hop. And basically what a blog hop is that we pick a topic for the month and we have one landing page where all of our blogs are linked to. Well, I saw it and I jumped right on it. I said, I am so in. I think that's a wonderful idea. And I offered to be the one to host it. So it's on my website, reconciledtoyou.com. And you'll see when you click on CWBN at the top, Blog Hop, that you have all these little, you know, what do you call those things? Those little tiny, I can see them in my head, thumbnails. There it is. You'll see all these thumbnails. Right now there's 15 blogs linked on the Blog Hop talking about their true feelings about confession. Last month we talked about how I Lent or how we Lent, and at the end we ended up with 21. So I think like as the month kind of goes on, you'll see a few more blogs be added. So keep your, you know, every once in a while, click back over there, see what we're up to. At the very bottom, we've also included a blog about who we are. And it's kind of fun to get to see who the bloggers are, because, you know, you might be looking for somebody to share your journey with, or to, you know, you can relate to if you're a convert, or if you, you know, grew up in a Catholic family but went away for a while and you're coming back now and you want some ideas of how to come back, or what other people's journeys look like. We have them all. Every aspect of being a Catholic is represented in this blog hop with this network. It's pretty amazing. It really is. So this month, this was my idea because I love confession, reconciled to you. Of course I love confession. So I really wanted to know people's true feelings, and whoa, did we get them? I think so far this has been my favorite hop, not just because it was my idea, but yeah, because it was my idea. It's all about me. But because I think it's such a hot topic, and people, you know, have left the Catholic faith over confession, of not wanting to go, or they miss out the fullness that God has for them by not participating in this amazing gift of reconciliation. So we have 15 so far, and here's some of the topics. Just going to kind of go through them the rest of the show. We have a convert's confession about confession. It's kind of interesting to see that mindset of this of coming into the Catholic faith and all the things you have to learn, the saints, our Blessed Mother, the sacraments, the Eucharist, and then we throw at you. Oh, and then we have this thing called confession where you kind of have to take all that stuff you used to bring just to God in your head or maybe out loud or on a piece of paper. And now we're going to ask you to come and actually sit with somebody and tell them out loud. Yep, it's easy. Come on. I can see where that would be a sticking point. I can see where that would be a hurdle. It's a hurdle for cradle Catholics. For practicing Catholics, it's a huge hurdle. So really wonderful. Sarah Christmeyer shares her convert's confession. And then Annie talks about the healing power of confession. Now, this is something I missed in my catechism. It wasn't until I started to go to confession on a regular basis and started to really feel like something was changing in my heart. Like, I need to know what's happening here in this moment. Like, what's going on here? Why do I feel peaceful? And why am I not as quick to get angry with the kids like I used to? How am I so forgiving all of a sudden? Like, what's going on? So the second most underused book in the world, besides the Bible, number one, number two is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And my friend Karen Tost had been reading it and she was sharing some stuff from it. And she's a convert and I've never met anyone in my life who actually read it from cover to cover. And I'm pretty sure she read it on vacation in Portugal. I think she was during her conversion. And she was just talking about something in the catechism and it stuck in my head. Oh, I should look in this book about confession. And in reading the catechism, I realized there's a line in there that says that confession is a radical transformation of your heart. Like, it's a radical transformation of your life. And when you go there, you're asking God to completely change you. And that's not a bad thing. Like, people go, oh, I like me. I don't want to change. I'm afraid to change. But it's asking God to change that stuff in you that isn't good in the first place. It's the stuff that leaves you uncomfortable or uneasy and maybe burdened. And he's asking to take that from you and to fill you with his grace, his loving, his blessing, his all those good things. All those good and gracious gifts that God has for us. And so we see in that blog, the healing power of confession. And then Heidi talks about being God's beloved daughter. And again, she's a convert and seeing that realization that you are loved and beloved, beloved. And it's so hard. You think, I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess. And there's no way God can forgive this. There's no way that God can forgive what I have done or what I've said or what I've failed to do. But there is nothing. And St. Paul tells us, and it's in the scriptures don't lie. There is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love that God has for us. Absolutely nothing. No sin too great that God can't forgive. The only unforgivable sin is our unwillingness to accept his forgiveness. And that makes complete sense, right? That if you're not willing to accept his forgiveness, then he can't forgive you. And so that's the only thing that can't be forgiven. Everything else, forgivable. Every single thing. There's nothing that, when you come into the confessional, there's nothing that priest hasn't heard. And if he's hearing it for the first time, well, good for you. You expanded his repertoire, but it's not going to scandalize him. In fact, I've not yet met a priest who isn't moved by the courage of people to go to confession. I've not yet met somebody who's thought, oh, those penitents, they're such losers. It's not at all how that works. No. It takes courage to go into the confessional, and the priest knows that. And he's so thrilled. Like, he became a priest to help people, to serve God, to consecrate the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, but also to be that vehicle of forgiveness, the avenue of forgiveness from Christ in persona Christi. Like, that's one of the things they look forward to. One of the priests that teaches Kevin's deacon school, he talks about how he'll sit there week after week after week and have nobody come. And you can just see the sadness in his face and in his voice when he talks about how he's there and wants to help people come to this place of forgiveness, of this place of healing, and yet nobody shows up. So realizing that you are a beloved daughter of Christ. Now, there's also included in that blog was a PDF that you can take with you to help you do confession. And the title of that one is called Grateful Confession. There's another one about a child's perspective, and then a craving confession. And she compares coffee and the caffeine kick you get from coffee to absolution. And that's what she talks about. She gets like that adrenaline kick. That's what she talked about. That adrenaline kick. That's kind of the same as if, like, for her, forgetting caffeine. I get the goosebumps when I receive that absolution, and it's kind of a powerful experience. Then I talk about being a confession chicken. I kind of give the longer version of that story I shared with you earlier in today's show. Our guest from yesterday, Kirby Hoberg, talks about how, she talks about this word called acedia, and acedia is just a fancy word for, here's the meaning. It means sloth through confusion, notable effect, disgust with spiritual things because of the physical effort that you need to put forth, right? How many people don't go to confession because it just seems like too much work? Think about that one for a minute on our break. We'll be back with more of the CWBN Blog Hop, True Confession, Feelings About Confession, right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we are looking at true feelings, making up words. True feelings about confessions. I like to make up words. It's kind of my thing. Like Godsidence. I love Godsidence. That moment everyone thinks the world is showing you a coincidence, but you know that God is behind it. Godsidence. So CWBN, I didn't make this one up. It's Catholic Women Bloggers Network, and it's our blog hop for this month, True Feelings About Confession. There's 15 blogs there now. Converts, reverts, cradle Catholics, from people, but it was interesting. I think most of us come at it from a place of at least at some point in our life being fearful or not wanting to go. But just about all of us have come to a really comfortable place of acceptance and see the beauty, the gift, the blessing in going to regular confession. And so regular confession can mean different things for different people. Church says you have to go at least once. Unless you are aware of a serious sin, then you need to go immediately. Our Blessed Mother and some of her apparitions, that's the right word? Yes, I think that's the right word. She says once a month. I would never go against her for that, but going more often never hurts either. Frequent confession, especially when you're in a dry period of your faith, is really good in helping you kind of break through that. I have periods in my life where I've gone every week. Try not to go more than that, because then you fall into another sin called scrupulosity. When you start to see everything as a sin and everything, you're afraid to make a move because you're going to sin. There's a healthy line to that. Once a week is good. Again, if you're in a dry period or you're really struggling with something, when I am struggling to forgive, it's a good time for me to go more often. Right now, I'm kind of in an every other week kind of phase, but once a month is good too, because it keeps you kind of tuned up, right? It keeps you tuned up. And our Mother Angelica from EWTN used to say, like, she doesn't want to have too much, like, to have to say. Like, she goes more often because then there's, you know, in case she died that next day or whatever, she didn't have as much to account for. And I think it just, again, keeps us closer to God. It opens up that relationship, and there's a lot more healing and grace flowing. It's just a good practice. It really is. And the more you go, I think the less uncomfortable or fearful you might be about going. So let's see, where did I leave off? We're talking about the different Catholic Women's Blogger Network, the CWBN bloggers who are sharing on this month's blog. We have a frank admission from one of our bloggers who hasn't been to confession in 4 years. She's really struggling. I love how honest these women are. Like there's no sugar-coated Catholics in this bloggers network. We are all filled with faults and failings and struggles, and we're just so true to who we are. And that's an imperfect person looking to be closer to Christ, and can't fault anybody for that. So really, she's keep her in her prayers. She's going to try to go to her Lenten penance service at our church. That's a really great time, by the way, to go if you're uncomfortable. Because there's lots and lots of priests there usually, and you can go to one that you don't know if you feel more comfortable with that. Everybody's there for the same reason. You're all in the same boat. It's just a really good idea. The other time she said she's gone is with her kids received their own first penance, preparing for First Communion. We have, let's see what else we got. More topics. Getting to know your priest. I thought that was really good. They used getting to know their priest to feel more comfortable. And I talked about how, for me, going to a priest that I know, I find that more fruitful. I don't have to go through the whole story. They already know me. The things that I say, we can kind of get right to the heart of the matter. There's one time that I went, I shared that story about the monkey with an orange, that I was complaining about a situation in my life and how I thought somebody should have done something. And I had been just really wrapped up in this for months and months, and I wasn't getting any better. And this priest knew this, and he knew me very well. And he said I was a monkey with an orange. I was somebody just stuck, because there's a long story short, there's a tribe catches monkeys, or I don't know if this is real or a folktale, but I love the story, that the tribe that catches monkeys by hollowing out a coconut, putting an orange in it with just a little hole, a hole for the monkey's hand to go in. But once it's holding on to the orange, it's stuck. And the monkey has every power to free itself. It just needs to let go of the orange. But in its stubbornness and its desire to have that orange, it ends up becoming monkey stew. I don't want to be monkey stew. I don't want to hold on to something so tight because I think I deserve it, or I think that I can't forgive until, you know, that person pays or the situation changes. That just traps you, freezes you in place, and that's not okay. So going to a confessor that you know, a priest that you know, you sometimes get this extra beautiful benefit of them being able to see you more clearly and to speak with you more frankly. And it was the turning point in my entire life when he said those words to me. It launched a whole series of retreats that I still offer, seeking a piece of forgiveness. It launched Reconciled to Ministries. It just was so you don't have any idea what's going to happen to you in confession. It may completely change your life, and that can be a very good thing. Women of the Well keeps showing up again. We're running out of time today, so I'm not going to go too far into that. I think next week, I might do a whole entire show on Woman of the Well, because it's just an incredible piece of the scriptures that teaches so much. And since it's come up with Danielle Bean's book, You're Worth It, and it was in Bible study this week at church for John 4, and it was the gospel reading in Sunday, and here it is again in this Catholic Women Bloggers blog hop. Sarah Dom talks about it over on her website. That's her contribution to the hop. I'm thinking this is something that the Lord is not just telling me that I need to spend more time and attention on, but to bring it to everybody. Again, the whole idea that no sin outweighs Jesus's love for us, that he thirsts for us from the cross. He says, I thirst. And he was thirsting for our souls, not just for water, but that he gives us living water, that if we drink our thirst again, that's a pretty amazing reason to seek out the Lord. What else do we have in here? I want to make sure I get them all before we go, before we finish today. There's a lifelong confession. Another person that talked about looking within when you're going to confess, like really using this time, the preparing, the what is that called? Examination of conscience. There it is. Using that to really delve deep and figure out where you're stagnant in your faith and what God's calling you to change and what's separating you from Him. There's pride and truth. That's kind of difficult because, you know, coming to talk about your sins, you really need to put your pride aside. And it is pretty much, I think, the root of all sin is pride, because it's that idea that I know better than God, or I want to be better than God or better than somebody else. And, you know, I was just talking with somebody this morning about some analytics and some figures. And I'm like, oh, these figures have to be wrong, because I feel like, you know, more people visit or listen. And, you know, in the end, I was wrong. And I was so wrapped up in my pride that it took me quite a while to see that I was wrong. And that in doing, if I never made that step to say I'm wrong, I will never make the change necessary to better myself or to better those analytics. But the same thing happens with confession. If I continue to say I have no sin, or there's nothing wrong, or, you know, I don't see what the problem is here, I'm never going to be a better person. I'm never going to grow spiritually. I'm never going to get beyond those things that are keeping me stuck in either doubt or shame or sin or fear or whatever it is that's stifling my spiritual growth. Sometimes you have to get to the point where you say, okay, there's something wrong and I admit it. And now I'm ready to move on from it. We also had that cleaning the clutter, wasteland prevention. Stephanie Engelman, she's been here a few times. I liked that title, Wasteland Prevention. And she's a person that's been a Catholic all her life, and yet she had some friends growing up who, or I think she said they were Episcopalian, and they, I think they don't have to go as often, maybe once a lifetime. And you're kind of having that, no, it's not fair. Why do I have to go all the time? And they don't. But then having that realization that it's a gift to go more often, and that God has a plan and a purpose in that. And then Ginny Coaches, who again was the brainchild for the Blog Hop, she talks about how Shakespeare taught her some lessons about confession. She talks about the quality of mercy. And again, therein is the woman at the well. So we have a single mom, and we have young and more seasoned or experienced women. We have converts and people who have been Catholic their whole life. And just the hop is fantastic. This is probably one of my favorites. If you have a question, I think it's going to be answered there. And if it can't, send me a message. Go to info@reconciledto.com or seekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. Send me your questions, or what do you need to know about confession to help you get there? And again, visit reconciledto.com, click on CWBN Blog Hop to read any one of these wonderful, or all of these wonderful 15 blogs. They're short, they're succinct, they're really helpful, and I'm blessed to be part of this sisterhood of Christ and the sisterhood of faith at the Catholic Women Bloggers Network. Blog Hop, reconciledto.com. Love confession, and I'm going to pray for you tomorrow at Adoration that you, whatever your obstacle, it just melts away and you get the healing God wants for you. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jigris here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.